Okay, so we're up to what we might call the firing of the Navi. I don't know who's up to where in terms of where we are in the last class, in the last series of classes, but what we saw was that Eliyahu HaNavi, after what seemed to be spectacular success, realizes that it's not genuine success, and then he becomes despondent. And he ultimately asks Hashem to take his life, to which Hashem doesn't agree. And Hashem instead sends him or gets him somehow to Har Sinai. And at Har Sinai, he shows him this pretty powerful image. Everyone is ringing bells with everyone who's with me. Yeah, right, of the fire and the wind and the earthquake, all these powerful forces. And in each one, Hashem says, not me, not me, not me. And then he says, and after that, it says, a still silent voice, which presumably is what Hashem is. And basically, the way we understood it was all this power, all this strength, all this punishing that Eliyahu was calling on from Hashem. Hashem says, that's not me. That's not my essence. That's not what I'm all about. I'm about other things. And after delivering this message, so Hashem turns to Eliyahu and says, so what do you think? And he says, no, the same thing. He says, I'm out. You know, kill me.
So was there, I apologize if I wasn't here, I missed something, but was there a point where originally we saw that Hashem might not have been too happy with what Eliyahu was doing?
So here, he's definitely not happy with it. I mean, he's trying to...
But he's not happy because Eliyahu is being too selfless? Is this a turning point in what Eliyahu, his approach to the whole situation?
I think his problem is that Eliyahu sees his primary role as, and God's primary role, as punisher. You don't do good, you get punished. And Hashem says, that's not who I am. There's more to me than that. He doesn't say that it's... I have nothing to do with that, because it says there's wind, there's fire, there's wind, there's earthquake, but that's before Hashem, but Hashem's not in that. And then Hashem is in the after, right? Which, it's weird, because those are very big, powerful images that kind of crowd out everything else, but Hashem is like, you know, I'm behind the scenes a little bit. So, and Eliyahu didn't go for that. Or at least on the surface,
it doesn't go. Immediate gratification, like El Kid did today.
Yeah, like he did before, right? Like he says he wanted to show, right? You, the fire from heaven. That's Eliyahu HaNavi. No rain. Show them. Bring the guy to life. Bring the guy. Eliyahu is like everything is a miracle, right? Everything is make it happen. Everything is Hashem. Just show them. And Hashem is like not this showy thing, right? The still silent voice. Means you gotta listen carefully for it. Once the powerful things are gone, Hashem is still there.
So it seems like Hashem wants Eliyahu to continue to be the voice of the...
But Eliyahu then says, before he shows him this stuff, he says, what's with you, Eliyahu? Right, and this is Pasuk 9, right? Pasuk 9 on page 762. He says, what's with you? And he says, Kano kineti l'Adonai lohet sevaot ki azvu britcha b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael left the brit. And mizbechotecha charasu. They destroyed your mizbechot. Vet nevi'echa hargu becharev. They killed your prophets with the sword. Va'ivater ani levadi. I am left alone. Va'ivakshu et nafshi l'kachtan. They want to take my life. Right? So Hashem, after he says that, Hashem shows him all this. And then on the next page, right, on Pasuk 13, or the bottom of that page, right, whatever, the top of the next page, he says, so what's the deal, Eliyahu? And he says exactly the same thing. Right, same words, word for word for word, which shows that he hasn't been moved by the image, by the wind, the fire, the still silent voice.
But he's not wrong.
Who's not wrong?
Eliyahu is not wrong.
They
sin, they're doing all these bad things.
Well, actually, did they kill all the prophets? They didn't kill all the prophets. Is he alone? He's not alone. They want to kill him? They do want to kill him. But the fact that he
they would have killed all the prophets to be if the,
yes.
If they wouldn't have well, they
well
wouldn't
not
it.
Not him, but he says, look, he had you can understand why he's despondent. You know, you can. But when Hashem says, okay, I show you, I'm going to show you something, and then, so now he asks him, so what do you think? Right? And you say, I'm the same. Right? I'm the same means I'm not changing. Right? I mean, that seems to be what he's...
But all the, if you look at all the Nevi'im, they all have the same thing. They get despondent at a certain point. Shemuel, I mean...
Not all, but some do. And not about this. Right? In other words, they get despondent about the people not doing good. That's sure. Not really what's despondent. That's not why he's despondent here. He's despondent because...
That's what he's saying. He's saying they ruined. They're not listening to you. They're ruining your mizbeach. They're killing everybody. They're, you know.
So what does he want? He wants that they all. He wants a world where it's changed. He's saying the world is not changing, and he's not saying so I have to do things differently, right? He's not saying, you know, maybe there's a different approach, and Hashem is trying to tell him. Take a different approach. And Hashem has been trying to tell him, take a different approach since the very beginning, right? How many times has Hashem more or less sent a message? How many messages did Hashem send to him to say, bring punishment? None, right? Yet that's what he keeps trying to do. But how many times does Hashem send him a message saying, listen, maybe that's not the right way. Maybe that's not the right way. Maybe that's not the right way. So he keeps trying and it's not getting anywhere. Now, finally, what happens? Pasuk 15, so after Eliyahu says exactly the same thing, so what happens? Vayom Adonai Elav, lech shuv ledarkecha, go on your way. Right? Go return on your way. Midbara Damasek, to the wilderness of Damascus, which by the way was not the way that he was going. Where was he going? He was heading south. So you have to explain, what does it mean, go on your way to the wilderness of Damascus? He wasn't going to the wilderness of Damascus. Oh, and by the way, Damascus is in a wilderness. So what does he mean by that? Okay. Uvata umashachta et Chazael melech al Aram. Go anoint this guy, Chazael, to be king of Aram, a foreign country, which is basically Syria today. Ve'et Yehu ben Imshi. Right? And this other guy, Yehu ben Imshi, timshach lemelech al Yisrael. Make him king over Israel. Bet Elisha ben Shafat Mavel Mechola Timshach Navi Tachtecha. Oh, and by the way, get Elisha ben Shafat from Avel Mechola and make him a Navi in your place. Right? So basically he's saying new leadership. Who's the new leadership? Chazael, Yehu ben Nimshi, and Elisha. Oh, by the way, Elisha is taking whose job?
Yours.
Right? Which implies you're not Navi anymore. Right? You're not the guy. Now, look at what he says. V'haya hanimlat mecherev Chazael, he who escapes from the sword of Chazael, yamit Yehu. Yehu, he will kill him. V'hanimlat mecherev Yehu, and whoever escapes from the sword of Yehu, yamit Elisha. Elisha will kill him. V'yish'arti v'Yisrael shivat alafim. But I left amongst Israel 7,000. Kol ha-birkayim ashelo karu la-baal, kol ha-peh ashelo nashaklo. All the knees that didn't bow to the Baal, all the mouths that didn't kiss it. Right, mean the Baal being the Avodah Zarah. So, what does this mean? Right, he's basically telling him what? What is this statement of these three guys and the 7,000 people and what do you make of it? New leadership, no question. What kind of leadership are these guys going to bring?
It seems that they're going to start killing everybody.
Right. So after Hashem just said,
don't punish,
what happens? Hashem says, go get these three guys, and what are they going to do? Slaughter, right? Do whatever this guy doesn't kill, he's going to kill. But whatever he doesn't kill, the next guy's going to kill. Whatever he doesn't kill, he'll kill, right? But is that necessarily what Hashem wants? Even here, what does he say at the end? Is there a still silent voice here? There is, right? What's the still silent voice?
The
7,000 people. Right. In other words, Hashem doesn't say totally annihilate. Right. Hashem says, what's going to happen? Right.
Yeah. Whoever serves me is good, and whoever is the Baal is.
But they were innocent. They weren't guilty.
Bnei Israel is on a path of no return. In other words, it's too late. You failed. You didn't get anybody to do teshuvah. Whoever didn't do teshuvah is going to die.
Seems like it. At least that's what Hashem tells him. Now we have to see what he actually does. But that's what Hashem tells him. Hashem tells him, go on your way, right? And then go do this and go do that, right? So what's Hashem saying? Is Hashem saying to do this and that these guys should all go and kill people?
Yeah, he's telling us what's going to happen.
Or maybe he's telling him, if you go on your way, here's what you do. Right? Here's the line that kills us, right? Let's say he didn't say, Elisha to be Navi Tachtecha, in your place. Take that word out, Tachtecha. Right? Now, is this what Eliyahu would want or not want?
He would want it.
He would want it. A lot of killing, right? Good, kill them all, right? He may not want the 7,000, right? Because he may not believe the 7,000. Because what did he say? I'm left alone, right? But other than the 7,000, right? Eliyahu Navi would be good with get the foreign king, kill them. Get Yehu ben Nimshi, kill them. Get Elisha, another guy to kill them, kill them. He'd be okay with that.
Right? Also, everything Eliyahu was doing was to show the power of God, or at least
correct.
This so, doesn't really reflect that, anointing a king to go on.
If those guys do killing, people, right? It's not his normal way. It's not right. He would like fire from heaven, right? He would like earthquakes. Right. He would like, plagues. That's what he would like. But Hashem is kind of saying to him, there's two ways to understand this. You're fired is one way. But when you say you're fired, you kind of say, give me your keys, right? But that's not what he does here, right? He gives him a job to do, right? And the job is the thing that he's doing. So maybe he's not fired, right? Maybe he's saying, when he says, go on your way, right? What he means to say is, or what he's saying, and maybe rhetorically is, oh, so that's what you want? Here, go do this. Go get this guy, he'll kill a lot of people. Go get that guy, he'll kill a lot of people. Go get that guy, he'll kill a lot of people. You won't be the Navi. Of course, I have to leave behind some people to be good. That's what I'm going to do. Right? In other words, maybe Hashem was saying to him, in a weird sort of way, the practicals, because by the way, look at what we have here. Three kings, right? They're not all kings, three killers, right? Three forces, that parallels the vision that he just said, right? The fire, the wind, the earthquake, right? Those three guys are the three, and then there's the after effects, right? So maybe Hashem's telling him something else, right? Maybe Hashem's telling him, if you're going to do your thing, then this is what you have to do. You have to go and get these guys to be in position, and those guys will do the work that I have to do.
Is this also the first time where Hashem is actually telling Eliyahu directly what to do as far as punishing the people, and he's not just going rogue and declaring things that he wants
correct
to see happen?
Correct. Maybe. Because the one time he actually commands him anything. Well, no, he commands him a bunch of things. He tells him, go to the river.
Right,
he says, go to the house. But that's not regarding the people. That's regarding him. Right? And then he tells him, make it rain. Right? He doesn't tell him, bring punishment on the people. This is the first time he tells him, bring punishment on the people, right? So maybe this is the first time. So now what's interesting is, so Eliyahu should go do this, right? Go bring punishment on the people, because that's what Hashem said, and that's what he wanted. But guess what?
He doesn't do that,
right? So maybe what looks like he didn't get the message means he really did get the message, right?
Reverse psychology.
When faced with what it means, and realizing, oh, wait a second. So that guy is the fire, and that guy is the wind, and that guy is the earthquake, and the 7,000, and Hashem didn't really want that, and Elisha is going to be a Navi in my place. Maybe that's not the way that we need this to go, right? And maybe Eliyahu is beginning to get the gist that his way is not the way. Right? And even though on the surface it doesn't appear that way, right? Because he didn't seem to accept the words that Hashem gave him, but something maybe has changed, amazingly enough, right? Which up until now he hasn't changed too much. And that's how I'd like to look at this and say that Eliyahu, would he have gone and made Hazael the king? Would he have gone and made Yehu the king? Then he does what Hashem wants and they kill and then But that's not what he does, right? So maybe he actually learned the lesson. Something like
it. What do you think he was thinking otherwise? He was thinking that if he did it his way, people would still be alive. He obviously wanted them to get punished. Now he has his...
So now he's not doing that. Now he's not doing that.
Right, but he has his... This is his... Hashem is showing him the way to get his vision done.
And he's not taking it.
It's natural.
And he's not taking it. So since he's not taking it, maybe he's begun the beginning of learning. Right? Hashem makes him learn by doing what kind of what you call reverse psychology. Here, you want it? Go ahead.
And this is what's going to be left, 7,000 people. Which
right.
Seems
which
very
to boring. Him may not be so terrible. Right? Beforehand, he would have said, oh, if that's who
I'll
it is.
It.
But that, coupled with the message,
right.
and maybe somewhat of Elisha taking his place, maybe that has a role in it also. We have to see. What does he do next? Right, who remembers? I don't. Did anyone do this? Did we do this together? I don't remember. Right, what did he do next? So let's see. That's the next piece. 19. Vayelech misham. He goes from there. Vayimtza et Elisha ben Shaphat. And he goes and he finds the very Elisha ben Shaphat who he was told he had to find. Vahu choresh shnei masar tzmadim lefanav. He was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen in front of him. Vahu b'shnem ha'asar, and he's in the 12th. Vayavor Eliyahu elav, and Eliyahu passes over him, in front of him, or something like that. Vayashlech adarto alav, and he throws his mantle, it's like a cape, it's like a cloak that he's wearing over him. Vayazov et habakar, vayarotz achar Eliyahu, he leaves the cattle, and he runs after Eliyahu. Vayomer eshkan na la'avi, uli'imi, let me go kiss my father and my mother, and I'll run after you. He says, no, go. Go back to your way. What I do to you? And he goes from behind him, and he takes the yoke of the oxen, and he slaughters it, and he cooks the bakar, the cattle, in the pot, in the utensils that he used for the cattle, vayiten la'am, and he gives to the people, vayochelu, and they ate. Vayakom, he gets up, vayelech achar Eliyahu, and he goes after Eliyahu, and he runs and he services him. Vayisharateu, he's his valet or whatever it is. Very confusing, right? What are the facts there? Let's read through the facts again. All right, first of all, who was Eliyahu supposed to go to?
Damascus.
I'm right, supposed to go to Damascus, to the kings, to the... Doesn't do that.
Doing it backwards.
Right? Doesn't... Well, not backwards, because he doesn't do the other.
I'm saying, but he's starting from the number three.
So he's not following what Hashem said, which is... If we thought Hashem really wanted him to do that, that would be bad. But we kind of know we don't want Hashem... Hashem doesn't really want him to do that. So maybe it was good that he didn't do that. Yet, he did get the message of, there needs to be a new Navi. Right, and he goes and he gets that guy, right? But not in the order, so therefore maybe not doing it in the way that we said. Okay, so he does go, he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, or at least what he's told to do. And he goes and he finds Elisha, which is one of the guys that he's supposed to get to, but not the one that he's supposed to do. And what does he see when he finds him? We get this like these weird details
right.
of what happens. Right, he's supposed to go and make this guy a Navi in his place. Right, in his place would imply that what?
He's not the Navi anymore.
You're not the Navi anymore, he's the Navi. Is that how he sets it up?
No.
Not at all. Right? Is he still the Navi after he meets Elisha?
He's the chief Navi.
He's the chief, right? He's the boss. He's the master.
Are we sure that it means that, you know, he is taking their place versus maybe he's just grooming him to be the next? Maybe
well, that's so that's what he does in the end. But when we read it the first time, what did we think? We
that
thought
he was taking his place.
The word taftefa doesn't have to mean replace. It could mean under you.
Ayin tahat ayin. What does ayin tahat ayin mean?
Okay.
I'm saying that. So usually right. tahat means instead of, in place of. Right? It means replace, you know, it really... does mean, you know, underneath. Now, the truth is, underneath could mean...
in Hebrew language, in Hebrew terms, it means replace.
More times than that. When we read it, we first thought mm-hmm. that he was going to do it. Because otherwise, who needs... To apprentice, and who's doing all the killing? right? According to the way it was described in the replacement. Elisha is going to do the killing. If he was still the Navi, who should do the killing?
He should
do the killing. So it doesn't seem like that he does what he's supposed to do, right? It seems like he goes to Elisha and he doesn't put him in his place, right? But rather, he kind of does something else, right? So we need to understand all the imagery that's here. So what are the pieces? Let's go over again. What happens, right? There's, first of all, we do find the guy Elisha, right? So he doesn't find some other guy. He finds the guy, right? And he doesn't do with him what we thought he was supposed to do with him either. Because what he's supposed to do with him, as far as we understand, is say, listen, buddy, I'm out. This is you. You take it. Right? What should Eliyahu should have done in order for Elisha to be the new Navi?
Gather all the people.
Okay, maybe. But here, imagery-wise, what should he have done to him?
Anoint him.
So how could he have anointed him? What might he do to anoint? What might be something you do?
Anoint.
Pour oil on his head. Or what did he use here that he might have been...
His cloak.
So what should he have done with the cloak?
Put it around Elisha.
And is that what he did?
He dropped it.
So, what he should have given it to him, right? In other words, he doesn't give him the cloak. What does it seem like he does?
It could be even a better gesture. It's handing over the cloak.
If he gives him the cloak, that's one thing. But if he throws the cloak,
he threw it on the floor. Or he threw it around.
He threw it on him.
He throws it over him. But does that mean he didn't hand it to him, right? By throwing it over him, I think. I'm not. Where is Eliyahu when the cloak is being thrown over him? Right. There's one of two things he could be doing. Right. He could be going like this. Right. He could be saying, you know, like that, or he might have done like this. Right. He's wearing it. Right. And he goes like that. Right. I'm not sure which one he did, but I think it's the second.
I think it's the second,
because it would have been by Yitan lo etara. Right. He gave him. Or something like that. Vayashlech means to throw. I don't know. I get the sense of... it's my sense of throw over him. Right? And we'll see later that Eliyahu maintains it elsewhere. We see he has this elsewhere.
And how does Elisha know that he wants to come with it?
Right? What's going on?
Let me go kiss my mother and father goodbye.
Right. First of all, why does it have to tell us what he was doing beforehand? Question. You know, that's a question.
And they're very specific.
Very specific. 12 oxen, and he's plowing, and then
and Elisha. He's on the 12th one.
And he's on the 12th one. And then he leaves the cattle, right? And he goes, let me go kiss my parents. What does that mean? Right, and then Eliyahu tells him, "What?
Where is he to come?
Right. What do you mean? Where are you going? Go back. Wait. Right. Which, you know, weren't you? What were you asking him? Right. And
Elisha waiting for him. Did God send Elisha?
I don't know. Elisha looked like he was, you know,
expecting him.
No, I don't think
not
so.
Not at that moment, but he was expecting him to come because
ready to drop everything and go.
Yeah, he said, "Let me tell my parents I'm leaving."
Well, okay, and then you have this meal at the end. What's this meal?
No idea.
Right, it's
slaughtered like without whose permission.
Slaughtering, right? It's a weird piece, right? But I think it makes perfect sense once we peel it off a little bit. So first of all, the thing that you have to realize, and we're going to see this because we'll get to Elisha after we do Eliyahu, is. That these two people, Eliyahu and Elisha, who are going to be teacher, you know, master and servant, teacher and student, although they have things that they believe that are the same, their styles are very different, right? Their styles are very different. So what here shows you that he is very different than Eliyahu? A number of things.
He's working in the field.
Right. So first of all, he works in the field, right? Elisha is a man of the earth. He's a businessman, right? He works the field, right? Can you imagine Eliyahu working the field? What's Eliyahu? He's a cave dweller, right? He's separated from the people. He lives off of miracles, right? The field plower, what does he depend upon? The rain, right? Could you ever imagine Elisha saying no rain, right? Not based on what you see here. Right? So that's part one that we see, that he's totally different than Eliyahu. But there's more that shows you that he's different than Eliyahu.
Mm-hmm. Eliyahu's more brash and Eliyahu's more subtle. More like he's more assuming like he's okay to take the second role. Whereas like, you know, Eliyahu's more...
So, good. Face. We also see he's willing to take a second role where Eliyahu...
Wouldn't have done that.
I don't think so. Right. I don't think so.
We don't know much about Eliyahu's past other than when he appears.
Oh, and here, what do you see?
We
have his parents. Right. Who's Eliyahu?
Right. And even if he had parents, he probably would have left.
They won't tell you. Right? And he wouldn't be with them, and he's not kissing them goodbye. Right. So you see here that already from the beginning, it's being set up as two conflicting personalities. Remember, we saw this already with Eliyahu, with Ovadiah. Remember the guy who hid the prophets in the cave? He too was a very conflicting personality for different reasons. He was more compromising, whereas Elisha, you know, Eliyahu was strict, you know. And whereas here, that's not the difference between them. Maybe
we don't see.
It may one day be, but here, that's not the difference. The difference is more Elisha is the type of guy that at least his background, which we know of, but in terms of family person, person of the people, person of the of the earth, eating food, you know, making a meal, you know, these are things that Eliyahu, it's not his way.
When he was getting food from the birds, he never gave it to anybody. He ate it himself.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's different. It's a totally different, right? Totally different type of guy, right? So I think that's part one of what's happening here. Okay, is to show that the guy that he has to go and appoint is not only a new guy, he's a very different guy. Right? And Hashem sent him, he didn't pick him out of nowhere. Right? He picked a guy that Eliyahu was going to have to teach, but also learn from. Right? And maybe that the Elisha is going to learn from Eliyahu, but at the same time... At the same time, not be just like Eliyahu, right? We don't need another Eliyahu. We need a different model, a different style, right? So that's definitely part of what's happening here. Now, what's the message of the 12, you know, the 12 whatevers? What does 12 mean? That's easy. Tribes, right? So in other words, what? He's a person of the people.
So is he with Binyamin? Because it says he's with the 12.
I think that's actually a sign of a few things. Number one, it's humility, right? Meaning he's the back, right? But also he's plowing with 12, right? That shows he has tremendous strength, right? Meaning physical strength. This guy has power, right? So he's not a weakling, right? He's not at all a weakling. He's actually very, very bold and strong. Where that's not different than Eliyahu, although we don't know about Eliyahu's physical strength, but we know about his strength of character, his strength of personality is very strong. Elisha is not a weakling, right? So we see that as well. Okay. Now, there's no question throwing the mantle over him serves a particular purpose, right? What are the purposes that are thrown by him throwing this mantle over him? So hold your finger on the place here and turn to... give me a second... turn to page 1401. Look at Pasuk. This is Zechariah. Read Pasuk 2, 3, 4. Read in English. That's fine. Right, and you see what they say right at the end of Pasuk 4. Right, what's the sign of a prophet?
Wearing a hairy mantle.
Right. So in other words, it's almost like this item was like the sign of a prophet. It was like the uniform. Right? You know, kind of if you're a Star Wars guy, you know, the Jedi have a certain get-up, you know, and so the Navi, they had a thing that they wore, right? And that's this. So by Eliyahu, so again, by Eliyahu putting his cloak over him, right, what's he basically doing? He's saying, now, he could have given him a new one, right? He could have given him his. He doesn't do either. He puts him under the cloak, which implies what?
Sharing it.
Come join me, right? You know, so first of all, on the one hand, it by using the cloak, it shows you're going to be a Navi. Number two, it shows that maybe you're going to either take my place or join me.
Until I'm ready to give it to you.
Right, right. And also, by bringing him under, it means you're going to be close to me.
Is this a known fact in this time period?
That they
like,
would...
if Eliyahu came to me and I was doing this, I would know I would be Navi?
It means you'd be his guy, right? It means you'd be his, you know...
So it's a known...
It seems like it's a gesture... That makes it clear,
so
yeah, and
green knights, you know, you're
kind of. And does Elisha get it? He gets it. Right? He gets it right away. So one of the things about Elisha that's interesting is, even though he's a businessman, right? What does he do? He leaves it. I'm going with you. Just give me 1 second. I want to say goodbye to my family. What does Eliyahu really want him to say?
I don't want him.
Exactly.
He doesn't want him talking to his family, right? What does Eliyahu want him to say? You come with me. Once he says, let me go talk to my family, what does Eliyahu say? Who, me? Why are you coming with me? Where are you going? What do you mean? You just put the thing on him. You showed him. That. Eliyahu is already, you could see there's a tension between them and a difference in how they go about things. So Elisha says, listen, I left, and Elisha makes a tangible sign. He gets off his horse. He says, I'm coming with you. Just give me 1 second. Let me go give my parents a kiss. How long does it take to give his parents a kiss?
Right.
Not that long, right? But what does Eliyahu want to say to him? Nah, forget it. Forget the whole thing. Right? So you see Eliyahu, even though he's doing this, is not fully bought in yet. Right? He's not all the way there. But
he probably doesn't like him. Also, he's a man of the people, right. He's a man of honor, right.
He's all the things that Eliyahu is not and doesn't like.
Exactly.
Right, 100%, right. So he's telling him, Ma'asitilach, what did I do to you? I didn't do anything to you, right, which...
He's kind of pulling back.
Right. So you see, he's still not comfortable being what he has to do here, right? But look at what happens. What does he do? He says, Lech shuv, go and go back, right? So Pasuk 21, he says, Vayashov ma'achorav, he turns back from him, Vayikach et semet habakar, he takes the yoke of the cattle, Vayizbachehu, and he slaughters the animal, Ubekli habakar, and with the utensils for the animal, Bishelem habasar, he cooks it, meaning he takes the yokes, and what does he do with them? He makes a fire, right? So what's he doing here? Right? By slaughtering the cattle and using...
Who's doing this?
Elisha. By slaughtering the cattle and by using the yolks as a fire, what's he doing?
It's all his business.
Exactly. Right. He says, I'm coming. Right. He has a funny... He for someone that's going to be a student of the teacher, his answer is, I'm with you, but not exactly, he says... What does he do? He kills the ox. When you kill the ox, that's selling the business, right? He uses the yoke as the fire. What does that show you? And he does it quickly, right? Meaning he doesn't go look for the fire. What he gets rid of the equipment of the business also, right? He could have sold the ox. He could have sold the yoke, right? And what does he do? He makes a meal. Now, by the way, he said, let me go kiss his parents. Does he kiss his parents?
No.
We don't see that he kisses his parents, but does he kiss his parents?
Sure.
You bet he kisses his parents, right?
Does he kill all his 12 oxen?
Yeah, yeah. Seems like it, right? And what does he do? He makes a party for the people.
For the whole town.
Right? So what does that show? Right? And who's the people included, probably? His parents also. So he does make a parting thing, right? Which shows Eliyahu, he says, listen, I'm coming, but... But wait, I want to explain something to you, right? I'm a man of the people, right? I talk to the people. I care about the people. I'm leaving them. I'm going to go follow you, and wherever you go, I'm going to go. You go hide out on a mountaintop somewhere, in a cave, in a widow's house, in a thing. I'm there. I'm your guy. But let me tell you something. I have to leave the right way. Right? I have my connection to the people. I'm disconnecting, but I'm disconnecting. I'm not just cutting and running, right? Which is what you would do, Eliyahu. He is not going to do that. Right? And so he finds this interesting way to tell Eliyahu he's going to do it his way, but he's coming with him.
Do we ever see Eliyahu actually interacting with the people throughout his whole journey and trying?
Sure. When he's at the Mount Carmel, he puts on it. He can interact with the people, but how does he interact with the people? Fire, right? You know, brimstone, right? Confrontation. Flamboyance, you know. Elisha, we're going to see. He's a different breed, right? And you see it, but at the same time, but he does go after Eliyahu, and he services him, meaning he gets Eliyahu to accept, right? Because Eliyahu has said, I'm out, right? Eliyahu says, I'm out of here. Go back, I'm going to go. If you're going, then don't come with me, right? That's basically what he told him, right? But he goes back and he goes with him. He finds a way to create that balance. He finds a way to be with Eliyahu, but also with the people, right? And therefore, it's a puzzling piece when you first read it. But I think once you start to see what's really going on here, we have an amazing thing happening. So do we have a Navi fired? No. In the end, he's not fired, right? Because if he was fired, we wouldn't hear from him again. And as you're going to see, we do.
God really didn't want him to be fired because he put him with everything else to go fire the other kings and hide these guys.
Hashem here is the ultimate parent / teacher, right? That's what he is, right? He's getting messages across. No matter how hard Eliyahu tried not to listen, he still got him. And to his credit, Eliyahu, there's movement, right? He starts to listen. He starts to get things. He starts to see. And we're going to see what else happens. There's a lot more that comes. But he has changed a little bit. The fact that he'll take on an Elisha as his disciple, as his student, that says something, especially since Elisha is not as all in, you know. I mean, he is all in, but he's not as whatever you say, Eliyahu, as you would think Eliyahu would demand. So next week, I have to decide. The next chapter is kind of only loosely related to this. So I have to decide if we're going to do this or not. Well, we probably will. And then, whatever. Next week, I'm not here on Monday. Can we do Tuesday? Are you guys here Tuesday? What's...
I'm away next week.
You hit Tuesday.
I'm here.